Okay, it's November 25th, 10 o'clock in the morning here in Togiak. And this will convene the public hearing of the Local Option Committee. As I mentioned earlier, David, and I'll kind of go over it a little bit. What we're doing is going out and reviewing the local option laws to get a feel for how they're working, if they've been working in the communities, are they effective? Are there some ways we can make some changes in the laws that would help communities deal with alcohol problems? Should we get rid of them altogether? And we're out to get public testimony on that to see what people think of it. And one proposal that's come up, a lot of people have mentioned it up in our area, a lot of the villagers, is a problem of once alcohol is in the village, people get it in, they don't catch them when they actually import it. Then once they have it in the village, there's nothing that the local police can do about it. They see somebody that's got alcohol, they're causing a problem, they're partying, they can't go up and take that alcohol away from them. So a lot of people would like to have another option that they could choose, which is to ban the possession of alcohol. So that if the community votes on that, to ban importation, ban sale, ban possession, then they could, if they see a situation where somebody's got alcohol in the village or causing a problem, they could confiscate the alcohol, take it away, and fine that person for having alcohol in the village. So we want to get your comments overall on what you think of the local option law, how it has worked or hasn't worked in Togiak, and what you maybe think about that kind of an idea. And also, what are some of the alcohol-related problems that you have in the community? What happens as a result of alcohol here in Togiak? If you could maybe state your name for the record, and then we'll be all set to go.
Yes, my name is David Nanaluk. I'm a resident of the village of Togia. John, in regards to the local option, and to the committee especially, that's going to be addressing the local option laws within the state of Alaska, is again since the enactment of that legislation in 1980, here in Togiak alone, the problems incurred out of alcohol that I have seen are deaths in various number of different families. I don't know the exact number, but there's deaths related to alcohol, drownings that are related to alcohol. A very small amount has been in regards to that option is that the law is enacted. The choice was given to the communities whether if it should be dry or whether if it should be wet. And in a lot of areas for which that there are no local liquor stores, that alcohol is being imported either by private persons or by a group of people that come in. One of the basic problems that I see with that option is that the state of Alaska's constitution guarantees every person his or her right to the use of various different things. And one of them is the consumption of alcohol is a private matter within the home. Mm-hmm. And then there again, the problem that I have seen in the past is that the state of Alaska within its constitution cannot discriminate. Although federal law can be able to do that. There again, the problems that I have seen and one of the possible solutions that may be addressed to the committee is the possibility of having an option, I understand, under the licensing of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, especially in the alcoholic beverage. You know, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board has the discretionary power whether if that license should be granted. And I think that the problem here that should be addressed in regards to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board from the committee after traveling to the villages is that the villages request the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, wherever, you know, especially here in the Bristol Bay region, that if the licensing of the liquor stores comes up, or wherever the sale of alcohol is done in public within near the villages in the Bristol Bay region, is that the villages get together and request and write a letter in consortium opposing the reissuance of the licenses. And the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board can have that discretionary authority, because I think the track record due to the licensing of alcohol has already taken at least 3.5, maybe even up to 6% of the prospective population increase that could have happened here within the Bristol Bay region.
You mean as far as deaths?
Yes, deaths related to alcohol. Although the figures that I give may be high to some people, but I wouldn't be surprised even if they're higher, because of the violence that's related to alcohol and the consumption of alcohol.
Where can we get those statistics?
The trooper should be testifying in Dillingham this afternoon, and he's supposed to have that information for us.
Okay.
How serious? Can I ask him a couple questions?
Go ahead, Dora.
David, how serious, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you can put it on that scale, do you think the problems with alcohol are in this region?
The seriousness is especially in the summer times, okay? Right here in Tokyak alone, we've got X number of vessels, and ADF&G can give you the numbers. We have X number of vessels which are over the 250, or probably even close to 300 vessels that come in for the herring fishery.
Oh, people come in here from outside. Okay.
So alcohol and not alcohol alone, but you've got alcohol and the hallucinogenic drugs, mm-hmm. as well as your herbicide drugs that are brought in, and you know that adds to the instability that's being brought in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now there again, I have to say that although you have municipal governments that were set up by the state of Alaska under Title 29, I think that the state of Alaska should very seriously reconsider its position under Title 29. Is that I think that the state of Alaska should really seriously consider recognizing and really understand where the real political structure of Title 29 is within the rural villages, especially when your population is 98% Native people. Because with the traditional council and your Native councils that have always been there ever since, even before the state of Alaska, even before the territorial days, is that the cultural laws that have been passed down traditionally have more weight than what is guaranteed by the Constitution for the safety and the welfare of the Native communities than what the state of Alaska can give. And then there again, the reason why I say that is that as a Native community, they can petition the state of Alaska to do specific things that they would like to do. And yet there again, under the traditional council's concept, is that the federal government can be enlisted and requested to do specific things that the villages would like to do.
So to turn more of that authority for regulating alcohol over to the local traditional councils or the local community to deal with the regulation of alcohol?
Yes, I think that would be an option that could be researched, you know, that can be looked into.
Do you think that the problems with alcohol in this area are serious enough that you should be able to invade people's right to privacy? Do you think that you should be able to say what they can do in their own home?
Well, I think there again that the committee ought to address, if you're asking about the seriousness of the alcohol situation, is that you ought to sit down and research the statistics from the state troopers or the Health and Human Services.
Well,
in the area of family violence, in the area of alcohol-related deaths, alcohol-related accidents, you know, all alcohol-related deaths,
well,
or injuries for that matter.
I think the committee is doing that. Very clearly we're doing that. But because I think people are more important than just the statistics,
yes,
the committee's also traveling to the villages to hear what people have to say, not just what the statistics say. And I guess what I'm asking you, you were talking earlier about the constitutional right to privacy and you can't invade people's home.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you can constitutionally say what people can do in their own home. You can prohibit them from possessing alcohol if the problems with alcohol abuse are so serious that the only way or a reasonable way to protect the public health, safety, and welfare is to say what people can do in their own homes. So I'm asking you question that the court will ask, and that is, are the problems with alcohol abuse serious enough to justify invading people's privacy in their own home?
In answer to your question, if the courts are going to be asking that question, I think the solution could lie is that we recognize the constitutionality of the issue. Okay? We recognize that. But I think in recognizing the constitutionality of the issue is then furthering and fostering the problem of alcohol within their own communities.
What's the answer to the problem?
The answer to the problem would probably be is that in the past, our own people, even before the state of Alaska, even before the municipal governments, you know, we had people left and right, you know, we had people that were in possession of alcohol. And it don't make no difference whether if it was on that person or whether if it was at the home. The village, the native village of Togiak had said there's no alcohol in this village, period. I mean, we're not going to foster it. So they went directly over to the home, and they went directly over to that person, took it away. Now that you have cities and municipal governments within these native communities, all of a sudden they say, well, you know, we're borrowing a system that is not going to help us. We're borrowing a system that was set up by the Western culture so that we could live like the Western culture. You know, some of it is good, yes, but some of the issues and problems that arise in the native communities are not the issues that should be addressed by the Western culture. It should be addressed by the local villages.
Mm-hmm. So you think the legislature should say the laws of the state of Alaska don't apply in native villages, they only apply in the rest of the state? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think that should be the answer. Because if a native village passed a law, and you came into that native village and you did something contrary to that law, would you recognize that law? Because it comes out of the native community.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way the state troopers in the rest of the state of Alaska see it. They say that they're the only law. But where are they when you need them?
What kind of service do you get from the state troopers here?
Well, I think that we get an excellent service out of this office because we've got the Village Public Safety Office program here. And yet, you know, some of the problems that arise should be addressed by the native village itself instead of looking to the state.
I think you're absolutely right, David. Back to that one question that Lori had touched upon earlier. Do you think then that the alcohol problem is serious enough in Togiak to justify people's invading that right to privacy in order to, for the good of the whole community, for the good of everybody, some people have to give up that right of privacy in order to protect the rest of the community?
Well, you know, let me ask you this question first, okay, in answer to your question.
Mm-hmm.
From whence comes right of privacy? Where does it come from?
Alaska.
State. It's in 1972. There was an amendment to the state constitution that said that people have the right to privacy in their homes.
Well, don't you already have that? You know, it doesn't need to be written. It's culturally accepted that every person has his or her right to privacy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's, you know, that was already there.
Mm-hmm.
But the right to alcohol is not a right, it's a privilege.
That's right.
and that it's not a right. So never. So you have to separate the two concepts.
Yeah. If you ask
me, a right and a privilege are two different things.
Okay. If you ask me the same question, I would say yes. As far as is it is it worth jeopardizing those a person's individual right to privacy to protect the good of the whole community? My answer would be yes. I certainly think it is. But we just want to get the opinions of individual people in the villages.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. If I have to invade somebody else's private home in order to protect that person's children or himself, for that matter, from accidental injury.
Or to protect him from going out, maybe
yes.
if he gets too drunk and hurting somebody else.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
It has to be done because that's the way it's always been. You know, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the village council was terminated by Title 29 in action, I've seen that. I've seen those elders say, you cannot have it, you're not going to have it, regardless of what you say. It's not good for your health, it's not good for the welfare of the community. And nobody turned around and said, hey, I've got a right. Only time that we started seeing the problems against our cultural laws was when Title 29 was enacted.
Do you have a Title 29 City Council?
Well, yeah, they say that we do, but I haven't seen a charter.
Are you the traditional
Lauren?
Council president?
Yes.
Okay. You're the traditional council president?
Yes. So that's all I've got. I know I've got to bring my boy to the table.
Okay. David, thank you very much. Katie, did you have any questions?
Okay.
No. Thank you for coming. I did. You said that before Title 29 passed, you could have your own traditional councils, and they were in charge, is that correct?
Yeah.
And it's when Title 29 was passed, they did away with the traditional councils, and you had to organize under that law, is that right?
Well, that's the understanding. At that time, I was in school. But, you know, I understand that they burned the books after Title 29 was enacted, after fourth class city status was enacted. But whether that vote is a real vote is a question. You know, I still question that. Because everything is done by a vote.
So what kind of a city are you? Fourth class?
I understand it's a second
class. I think it's a second class.
I think all you can have now is that right? First and second class?
First and second class, yeah. David, thank you very much. Appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us. It's a help, too. Maybe,
Traditional council But that was Anton Gussek that he had made a statement that, you know, before the local option was voted on, you know, you didn't see that much of the problem in alcohol-related problems within the villages. Once after the local option law was presented to us and voted on, seems like you see the problem proliferated.
That's what I was...
And one of the basic problems that the proliferation is there is that the availability of transportation by air, because that's the only way that you can come in and out of. But there again, between the time that person gets on board that aircraft, you know, where does the problem begin? It actually begins from right there where it's available on public sale. So I've got to go. John, I'd like to introduce your translator, Sarah. That's Sarah Lily Tukaya.
That's
John Binkley.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Okay.
We all go ahead and start over again and introduce everybody. And first of all, apologize for not bringing our own interpreter. We had a translator that we've been taking with us around the villages, and just before we left to come out here, he called and said he couldn't make it, so we have to prevail on the good services of Sarah here, and we appreciate that, Sarah.
You guys can introduce yourselves to the people.
Okay, I'll just introduce it, and maybe they can, maybe you can explain then what the positions are. This is Representative Katie Hurley from the Anchorage, or from Wasilla.
Mm-hmm.
This is Lori Otto, who's the legal counsel or the lawyer for the committee.
Lawyer.
And she's from Bethel also, or she's from Bethel. And this is the committee is called the Local Option Committee. Yeah. I'm Representative John Binkley from the Bethel area.
John Binkley,
yeah.
From Bethel?
Yeah.
And you're a
representative? Representative, yeah.
Representative Arulun Mamtrechni, John Binklin Padrin. Local Option Committee.
From the legislature.
Right. The committee was formed by the legislature. They wanted us to come out to some of the communities around Alaska, some of the villages, to talk to people, to find out if the local option laws are working within the communities.
My
And to find out from you if you've got any ideas or suggestions on how we might change the law to better help the communities to deal with alcohol. And also to find out specifically what some of the problems are that alcohol causes within the community. We're making a record of this hearing and all the hearings that we're having. We'll make a report from those records and then present it to the legislature in January down in Juneau. We've had seven different hearings in the Bethel area. We'll have hearings out in this area, in the Nome area, Kotzebue, Point Barrow, and villages around there, Fort Yukon and villages, Anchorage and Fairbanks. One of the suggestions that's come up in the region around Bethel, the Chilista region, ABCP region, is to allow communities an additional option, to allow them to choose if they want to, by a local vote, to ban the possession of alcohol within communities. So we invite you to testify. If you feel more comfortable testifying in Yupik, Sarah will translate into English for the record and for our benefit, or if you'd rather testify in English, that's fine. And about, we'll have to stop at about 12 o'clock because we need to go on to another hearing then this afternoon.
12:15.
Yeah. About 12, we'll start to wrap things up. Okay, maybe we could do that. Maybe the first person we could hear from is the BPSO, and we could get some of the statistics from him on the record. And then people can just feel free after that to come up and testify.
I'm Stan Hackett, Junior, Village Public Safety Officer of Tokyo.
Good morning, Stan.
Good morning. The only problem we have with the local option light, the communication with the court systems in Dillingham, and the surveillance that needs to be done with the Dillingham Police Department. The problem is trying to get the telephonic search warrants, and on most occasions we get a complaint from somebody that he heard somebody saying that this guy is going to Dillingham to get some booze, and when we first tried it, this guy went to Dillingham and came back, and we took his boxes or his sack. Then we tried to get a search warrant, telephonic search warrant. Then the judge, I talked with the judge for over a half hour, I think, and the judge told me that we couldn't get a search warrant based on hearsay. And I knew there was some liquor in that box or that paper sack. Some people, you know, we are all relatives in this community. Some people are afraid to go to court against their own relatives. And, it's real hard for us to try to convict these people.
What happens sometimes, Stanley, when somebody brings in alcohol? What typically happens? I mean, as a result of the alcohol, do people drink in their homes in sometimes, or do they drink in public?
When they bring in the liquor, they tend to drink in their homes, and after a period of time, they walk out in the homes and start creating problems. We have had some deaths related to alcohol, suicides related to alcohol, drownings related to alcohol, after local option law came.
Stanley, sometimes when you're on duty, or do you have an occasion to see a situation developing sometimes? I mean, do you sometimes know that somebody's got alcohol, that they're drinking, that there's a potential for them to maybe hurt somebody else, as maybe they continue to get to drink and maybe get more and more intoxicated? Is it sometimes, if you had the ability to go in and take the alcohol away from that person, would that assist you, or do you think that would benefit or somehow help to protect that person or the public?
I guess that would really help the guy that's drinking. It's his problem, and if we took away that liquor from him, maybe he won't run into any problems like that. Going to jail or hurting somebody else or hurting himself.
Is that sometimes the case, though? I mean, you're able to detect that somebody's drinking?
Yeah.
You know when that's taking place sometimes?
And sometimes I have to take away their liquor. Though I'm scared of being shot, sometimes take away their liquor and dump it.
And what do they say about that when you do that?
They get mad, but they tend to, we're all relatives. When they get sober, they kind of like, they were like the way they were before.
Is that, can you do that now under the present law?
No, we can't do that.
Did you used to do it? Is that before?
Yeah, we used to do it
before the local
option was voted on.
And now the troopers say you can't do it. Is that it? Or the people?
The people are saying that we can't do it.
Okay, Laura?
I have a series of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
How long have you been the VPSO?
I've been a VPSO since 1980.
So 5 years. How much of your workload your cases are alcohol related?
About 100% are alcohol.
How many calls do you have a week?
Summer, are, right after summer, we usually get at least 10 calls a week. Or
do you have felony crimes here?
Occasionally.
What kinds of felonies are there?
1 year we had rape. I think we had only one rape case back in 1991 when I first started.
So you don't have very much felony crime. How about juvenile crime?
Many, but none usually. We have had approximately 5
hours. Are the problems with juvenile alcohol related?
Well, most of them.
Is there much of a problem with domestic violence?
Yeah.
Serious problem with domestic violence. Do you have people then with real serious drinking problems?
Yes.
What happens to their kids?
Parents? What do you mean, what happens to the kids?
What happens to the kids when the parents are drinking?
Usually they go to the grandparents. They stay there for a month or a couple of months. And the parents stop drinking, they go back.
How long do the kids sometimes stay with their grandparents? 2-3 days?
2-3 days.
Would it help you in law enforcement if the law didn't just ban importation, but also banned possession of alcohol?
Well, it would really help a lot.
How would it help?
It would deeply decrease the crime, I guess. If we saw a drunk out there walking around, we'd pick him up or possess him and place him in the cell. We hear a guy, maybe a kid come to us and say his parents are drinking, maybe pick up the parents and put them away or possess them. And it would probably decrease crime and probably would help us.
What? Let me ask one question. Oh, go ahead.
I just had a question regarding David Nanaluk mentioned that during the fishing season that there's sometimes, during the herring fisheries, there's sometimes 100 vessels that come in. Mm-hmm. And do those vessels, do they, is it people on those vessels that have alcohol, and how would you be able to control, how can you control that now? And what would the, if you had that kind of a ban, could that, could you really control the what comes on those vessels?
I can't really say that. It's really a big problem when these big ships come in, or these purse hangers come in from different bays to Togiak Bay. They bring in alcohol. Then the kids from the village here, they go around down to the bay and trade whatever they can for liquor, or buy it from the village. Trade bird cabs for a case of beer or whatnot. We had a couple of them last spring, and they landed real drunk.
There's nothing that you can do now.
No.
But would that law make a difference, Laura?
Well, not if they're not inside a tow yet.
So that's, well, they are, though. They're in the...
No.
They are, don't they, do they anchor up? Don't they come into the dock?
No, they usually anchor way out there, out in the bay.
Where are they from? Are they Washington?
They're from down there.
They're from southeast. They're from all over Alaska.
But at some point, when the problems occur, somebody brings the alcohol ashore.
Right.
Okay. What, now you mentioned, Stanley, the ability to somebody that possessed alcohol to put them in jail. What if this ban on possession was only to allow you to confiscate the alcohol, to take the alcohol, and to fine that person or have them do community service work? Do you think that that would be effective?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. If the legislature enacted a law that said the community could choose to ban possession, but that, maybe I could put this up too. You can just sign.
He's going to make it so it's something to write on. Yeah,
why don't they just sign up when they come up?
Why don't you get an idea, though, about how many? Because
that's what I wanted to
control.
Yeah.
Testimony, so make sure that you get
them. Okay, why don't you pass one around? Okay. If the state, yeah, okay.
I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet for people who want to testify and a pen. So maybe you can ask people, anybody who wishes to speak, to put their name on the list.
And if they have to leave soon, they can put their name on the list first.
We'll use this one.
We'll use this
right
one.
Better
yeah.
On that. You better announce.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sarah.
I'll
Stanley, if we enacted a law that allowed a community like Togiak to choose that, they could choose to ban possession if they wanted. But the penalties for possessing alcohol were one that the VPSO, like yourself, when they see somebody that has alcohol, could take that alcohol away and then issue a citation that would be a fine for them to pay, but did not mean that they had to go to jail. Do you think that that would help the situation?
That would, I guess, help a little bit. But if a guy is drinking, say, for instance, I was drinking alcohol now, and I drank all of it up, then walk outside to create a problem, I still have possession of alcohol. Right?
In your body?
Right, in my body.
Yeah.
That's still possession.
Well, I don't think that's counted as possession. Is it, Lori?
Well, the way I understand possession, if he is drinking, and I had drank a six-pack of beer or more, then I get drunk and I go outside and annoy people. But it would help the community.
Is it very often, Stanley, that when somebody's drinking that you actually have an opportunity to see the alcohol? In the body.
In the body. No.
To the point where they're intoxicated and they leave their home, then maybe don't take the alcohol with them, and then are out in the community and cause a problem. Either they drown or they hurt somebody else, or their kids get hurt as a result of that.
Yeah, sometimes. But most of the time, we usually hear from people that they're drinking at a certain house.
So somebody might call you and say, the person over there, they're having a big party over at that house. It sounds like there's drinking going on.
Yeah.
You could go over there then, and I guess I don't know the technical aspects of this. Lori, if he knew that there was a party going on and he knocked on the door and the people opened the door and he observed alcohol in the room, could he then go and get a search warrant based on that observation to go in and search the house?
If he saw the alcohol, he most certainly could. And really, if you have, as you know, if you have the person who sees it go with you to the telephone, you can get a telephonic search warrant. And if you can identify the person on the telephone and say, Jane Smith told me that this is going on, and she's a citizen informer, and I have no reason to disbelieve her.
And she observed the alcohol.
She observed that you can't.
Okay.
But have you ever gotten a telephonic search warrant?
Yeah, a couple of
them. And that worked?
So that might help then, Stanley, if you could go into that house then, into the party, take the alcohol away, and issue a citation to those people that were at the party, some kind of a fine that they had to pay, or if they couldn't pay it, then they had to do community service work for the village.
There was a party in this house where four people are drinking on this progesterone deal. If I see them out there, would I be able to issue all four of them citations, or just one person?
The law's not passed, they're considering it. How do you think it ought to be?
I think it ought to charge all their drinking.
What if you came into a situation where somebody had alcohol? Of course, maybe that would just have to be something that would be the discretion of the VPSO. If somebody came into a house where the person had alcohol there, but that he didn't know they had alcohol there. Well, I don't want to get into this.
Yeah. We're going to get some other people.
Yeah.
We probably have a big list.
Okay, Stanley, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And I think that the gentleman sitting down was first on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the
yes.
Done.
He was first on the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he... No, he doesn't have to sign there. If he signed the other piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll
translate
for him.
Okay.
My name is Teddy Kershaw.
I'd like to start off with a prayer first before you start.
Oh, good.
But those are the people who are in the Manasuk, Kadukit Ksubu, Salikaya, but Slava, the Knife Man. Makum, the mighty people who come to my use Kuta Dano, which is custom of the Tumpet.
You know, you might translate this for me. Every day in the legislature, we start off our session in the legislature with a prayer. And I appreciate you taking the time to start this meeting with a prayer, too. Thank you.
In his younger days, you know, he's quite old now. He claims that there was never an alcohol problem in those years, but prior to these years, it's been a problem. Before statehood, like he was talking about no problem with alcohol, but the federal government was taking care of Alaska in those days.
Manisu celi matum nunni ne, matum kosta samillone, tamatum tumaksum tanasti ne, akan pesu cita, maaf da ilu wayu natang makuta mata tamatum nasi ne, amas pedu wayu itu. Tamam silu wak cita stai taksu ne. Maaf kosta nunan.
In those days, alcohol was no problem. Because in those times it was not initiated that much from, you know, the outside world. But now it seems like since the statehood act, you know, it seems like everything started rolling in, and in terms of alcohol, you know, humongous, you know, it's so big now, creating problems.
Wang kita pun mana ni nama kaya mana wikel kan ni. Wang kita sekut kecil dia nama tak sekut tak ada madik tu ke youth farm ta. Kalau sah nak itu youth farm ta, tak macam nak sini. Akan kasih tu nama suka. Wang kita tu semacam ni.
And in those times, during his time, the law came down from the elders, and the elders, when they say, you know, this, that they don't want them to do this, it was the law already stated there. And right now, you know, it seemed to cease to where the younger folks aren't listening to the elders. In his time, the elders were the law, you know, they were. When they say something, you know, especially to the alcohol or something related to that one, they say no, it's the law, and they're not supposed to use alcohol.
Jadi maksud kamu tadi waktu kamu berbicara amdan set kamu tu nanti mungkin tu jadi maksud cumi itu kita berbicara cuma itu na jadi lepas kamu kita jadi tamat maksud kami tamat tak tak kena kita cuma.
Then they, he's making a statement to himself that that when he got elected to be an elder, they made their laws where one of the problems was alcohol, and they were the ones that were enforcing the alcohol problems here in Togiak. And what he's trying to state is that they were, when they became elders, they were enforcing the law of no alcohol.
And people respected it, and they obeyed it.
Tamani ko kapani, bisni kapani, nizna ko taman, tichik sa ko kapis.
Tamatum na si ni guman ng kamustunga, tao na kasiyunan ng taklak, tao ay tichik ko. You walk among cotton, manage to cut touch to now. Manage to.
He states is that, you know, when they were the elders, you know, enforcing the law, you know, when people break the law in terms of alcohol, they respected what they had to say. They quit drinking in the village. But nowadays, you know, Nowadays, you know, it's not the same anymore. It's, you know, it's different from what they used to do. People don't, you know, younger folks or people don't seem to. They haven't formed an elder, what should I call it? The elder committee or something like that, to to look at the problems or stop the problems. But he's stating that it's not, right now the problems don't seem to be eliminated the way the laws are going. In the past, you know, he's stating that our laws, people were listening to it. But right now, in this day and age, you know, he's stating that there doesn't seem to be any more laws.
Did they listen? In the olden days or before statehood, they listened more to the elders when there weren't any laws than they're listening now when there are laws. I mean, state laws.
Mai ko matunas sini pani ya stay tampo kala ka pani am kami yung pani ni sa ngatrat ng Maya yung pa.
Kung kuta la po tatu sumutne, kung kuta la po tatu sumutne, kung na yung sumay tu, man na kan kada ko siya kailam na nanong sumagun no sakta ko ke ang kasik sa jam pilreta ng kumain ng tigkutulog.
In the past, in his time, you know, the elders, when any kind of problems arise, you know, the elders would, you know, form, and they'd go to the house and they'd settle the problem. You know, like a committee type.
Mm-hmm.
Elders.
Mm-hmm.
By talking to the people?
By talking to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stopping it before it gets out of hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen
anymore.
He's stating that can't seem to happen anymore. Because they're referring to the laws that are implemented to us nowadays, you know, they're saying that it's kind of like, you know, it seems like, you know, he's saying people are kind of lost between two laws.
Because the state law,
yeah.
then the committees, the elders' committees have stopped working because the state law is supposed to work, but the state law doesn't work either.
State law for common people, but when it's right, when it's right. It's been very recent that the state laws have been implemented to our communities. And since it started, it seems like our laws that were with us for many years, it's just like, you know, state law took our laws and throw it out the window. And, you know, doesn't seem to work for our people anymore.
I don't care if you want to go to the state.
And the other statement is that, you know, since the state implemented the laws to us, to him it seemed like it created a lot of problems in terms of, you know, alcohol-related deaths, suicides, murders, sexual abuses, things like that, or have, you know, as soon as the laws were implemented to us, his feeling is that, you know, it got out of hand. The people don't seem to have any more laws after that.
Do you think, Teddy, that if right now in Togiak, if we said, okay, no more state laws here, no more federal laws here, Togiak can be on its own now. Do you think that that would help the problems?
His answer to your question is that, you know, the laws aren't just here in Togiak. The laws started way back then. Not just Togiak, mm-hmm. He's indicating to
all
the community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It started from way back there, and it's going forward.
What does he think at this point in time, given all of the history of federal government in Alaska and state government in Alaska and all the laws that there have been, what does he think that can be done now to help with the problems that are obvious in this area?
Kaisen hukta pani maktum nasini umiyot kaisen um pani lam tungin mai ko kaisen kitu nakum tuku pani ko kaisen hukilu ko chot abes chot ka kaisen ko pya
makut tuk mane unak pani sonak pagum tu makut mane yak magun
His answer to that question is that if we can stop the importation of alcohol or even drugs, you know, the people bring the alcohol and drugs through boats, planes, or whichever transportation that they bring them in. If we can stop that, if anybody can stop them from doing that, it would eliminate our problem right now.
How does he think it can
be stopped?
Does he have any suggestions?
His answer is that, you know, since we didn't create those problems in terms of alcohol, maybe you guys are the ones that should enforce that law not to bring, you know, not to bring it in, because we've never had that problem before. If any way that it can be stopped from coming into the villages, we give it to you. We say we give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Would it help, mm-hmm.
Lori?
Yeah. Would it help to be able to prohibit people from possessing alcohol instead of just saying you can't bring it in? Would it help to make a law that said it's illegal to possess alcohol inside of Tokyo?
Tai mahukka lamun kunikani ya kip kainak nako. Kamang kasasubuk pa chalita ang pani lamun kikupiko ni chayan mo nito. Pati kip may pani pimma pati kip kainak ni pani kip kainak ni tanga mo pani anak ko kung ito tama. Kamang kasam just asaw lo ni. Kamang kasam ko pa chalita lamun kikupiko ni asaw.
Mang basa tamas ko na kibubigun eh at ako ay tuwa sa itong tuwa kapag nagkukunan ng mga wedi sa mga nanon na sino ito na at ako kapalim.
His answer to your question is that, you know, it would be good if we to put into the law not to import or bring in alcohol. And also the possession of it, make it illegal.
I've got one more question, Teddy. A person in the over on the Kuskokwim that grew up over there, has lived there a long time, told me that the reason they think that they see the same problem that he mentioned about the younger people nowadays not having the respect they used to for their elders, and that one of the reasons they think is that today it's so much easier to live. It's you don't have to pack water anymore, you don't have to chop wood anymore, you don't have to go out and do hunting anymore. And all these things used to be that you had to depend very much on your elders to learn how to do these things. You were always working to just make to provide food for the family, to provide heat for the home, to provide your clothes, and you were busy with those things all the time. And now, you know, sometimes you can get food stamps to get food. You've got electricity and lights, oil for your heat. You can buy food at the store. It's easy to get a job and people have money sometimes. Does he see that same thing, that maybe that's one of the reasons that people don't have respect for their elders as much, is because they don't have to depend on them as much for learning those skills that they used to? Yeah.
Tai mahukko kawa ni khani kusko phok ni khani pe khamkni ya il be thok cheu de ngat khani pe khani ai pani khama ko ai pe ot khani ya cheu le khani ngat li sman me khai ta to ko ni chu pa pe khak tang na na ai pe ge ngam pat na toi tai ma a cheu le khani ni sman me khalo ki khani a ata koi bratin ayo kun ram ki mo mi khani chiu le kun ni chani wala to pe nam ki khani an kalo ni umu wa mun kha khani umu wa mun kha ta ni kha ta na yo to pi ta ta ma chiu le kun ni chiu ni ngai kon ki to la so kai khani ni chiu ni ngai kon ki ma ni khani to ko bratin na ayo chiu ma lu ma ko kha khani ya pe kha ta si ya ma ma khani
Jumun dot naik sebaga magut mana, nunam ma, cium lagi nanti magut kani yang nak terang kena, mana semua ayuh cakna ayak dia ma ayuh kunci ni suatu yukum, dot naik sebukak gay, jadi sukat nombor su nanti magut kaki ut mukhnka, cawa ut kubu munta ngaman cahita tu katung atau tak sakit. Waktu ayah cut kak sak tengah, pasu natmunna temu me matu matu kain ka kami ini tu bisut kani tanom ya kena tu atnayo kuka unne kusmat lagi atnayo kun tu atnayo kini.
He's stating that what that person was saying is true. But on the other hand, he's saying that younger folks aren't listening to their elders. And they're, right now, you know, they're not, since they're not listening to them, or since the elders aren't talking to them, they're misunderstanding. Their misunderstanding on what our laws are not implemented to them. And since we're talking about alcohol, they're using their monies without thinking, the younger folks are. They're not buying things that are going to be useful for them, because they are not taught of uses.
I just have one Katie? More thought. Does a school invite the elders to come in, and do they participate in the education out here, where they come in and talk and tell? Let the children know as they're growing up, you know, what life is like and what's meaningful, and, you know, pride in being who you are.
Tai mahupa umkani school umkani kelatan pilaga cikani ya makutkani alkhut pasta kisjuk. Min execute the Asan and what children execute the Pokatamana school of 20 Kilakaji now after school to Tamatan.
Chiumane Matuma, Steve Tank, Magoda Council Lava, Vaigata, Magoda School of Lurita, Exit Halston Jale, Litnaus, my Oxley. Usap itu ke kong tu ta, bis kahat ku tu usap itu ke snek ta kalu ke rumane kalau tak tu ke kong tu ta ayo kucing ni, dikna ku stay ke ayo kucing kat ni, jadi dik anak tak tu ke, macam nak kini state angka council langai council lang kanam kini. Litnaus tengku jagan katik tadi Maya litnaus ini makun tanggung jam kasih dong per toh per litnaus tengku tadi. Unak panas sih dong cia cak cina tu cak cego suku ini aku tu cego suku. Agung kan kat.
In the past, you know, when our school system was, you know, BIA funded school. The elders used to go down to the schools every so often to teach the students and to tell them about our laws, and used to talk to the teachers of what is good and bad. But now since state took over, state acting like their council, the problems in the schools are arising. You know, they're not telling them what alcohol is, what problem it creates, and they're not, and the elders aren't invited anymore to the schools.
Where are you, Teddy?
Takakanak,
Since the schools were constructed and when they started going, you know, BI was the one that was running them. And they had, the students had a lot of respect for the school and their teachers and their elders. But now, you know, since state took over a school, that is not so anymore.
Dan Menlo. Come on.
And we'll try and keep
our questions limited too.
He grew up here in Togak, and he's from Togak, and he knows the previous guy that spoke, and he knows mostly everyone in the village.
Since we've always been under some other government, and then city came, Togak was starting to be called city, and since that time he's heard a law saying that the state said that one person can drink in his own place without anybody going to stop him. And since that, they've been trying to fight back, saying that one person, if he drinks in the house, I don't think that'll work. And they've been trying to talk, saying that if a law says that if one person drinks in the house without anybody stopping him, it will become a problem.
Mana tamai una pania ayag ni ka khago ki um pani tam matum tang patin toy aksa gai na pi tam na toy stay tak toten pani ma bet pani bi tak kak hilu ku ugu pani ap ku city council la ro ugu pani city council la ciu ngat ni ala ila kaya kabut lu ki su pangu ta pani ila kaya su ki lu kim tikayo ko la ila kaya su ki
That one person drinking, several of him
God started alcoholism in the home.
Is he saying that people drinking in their own home does cause problems for other people, and he tried to tell the city council that, but it didn't work?
This is what he said. This is what the city council was saying. If one person, the city council told me this. This is what the state says. One person can drink in his house, and no one can come and bother him.
And he doesn't think it should be that way.
When he first heard that, me and other people went to them, the city council and told them to not do that. They said they backed it up with whatever will come later on, that it won't happen again. They tried to tell him, but the city council didn't listen to them.
So he thinks it would be better for the whole village if that person couldn't drink in their own home.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a right. Samuk lit now and ram, funny state now, we gonna out of the Han one, but in funny bag of you lost it.
Our school used to be a BIA, and then they changed it into a state school, and from then on, he's been trying to, he always wondered what they teach in the schools now, because whenever he tells, like his children, some things to avoid if he tells him, you know, talk to them. Some things that, like alcoholism, if they tell them not to drink. The person he's speaking to always tells him that, I've got a right, you know, they always back him up when he's trying to tell them to avoid some things that they've got a right, and he always wants to know what they teach in school.
Una funny ba in Oyunail did Magusman elit now like in Oyunail Klava, Anosunail Klu, but in funny Kansaila Halloween, Piu Pungauma, Piu Pungauma.
And some things, when he's talking to them, this is what they say. I can do it myself, you know, saying, like putting him down. I can do it, and some things
that
they say
is
I've got a right, and I can do it.
These
are the two subjects he talked about, because he's thinking about others.
Kuyana.
Thank you.
Billy Blue? Good morning.
Being a Macumi, I don't want to pagani money, Catan's hunger. I'm going to quick when no knowledge of Moisting Cotton Day. Song was talked to I. There were my proper twelve something that Macut, a room cannot call it for that. Did not got a cotton pillow go. The killing of a clit does got below the cock to a quilt, so with Madame Clue, Sams and Conrad. This below, and a team cannot come.
Billy Blue is interested in himself. He's originally from upriver Togia, and he says that he's going to start growing up. He used to see a lot of villages upriver, and then just like Dad said, he came so his children can have attend school, and for one other purpose, that so they can have a church, something to go to. Those are the two main reasons they started moving children.
Jim Connie, how about 1983?
The first thing that he heard about alcoholism is when he went, when someone else asked him to come with him to a meeting in Bethel. And when they went in 1983, they went to a meeting and they were talking about alcoholism and how they were trying to prevent it from, like, alcohol kills people before they become aged. Like, they were talking about how they can extend the lifespan of the person, and they were talking